In the Sunday school, we've been talking about Luke, who was a follower of the Apostle Paul. We'll go to Luke 2. And Luke had the opportunity, a unique opportunity, of being in Jerusalem a couple of years, and back and forth between there and Caesarea when Paul was arrested and held prisoner in Caesarea, and he got to interview some people, some of the apostles, and even Mary, the mother of Jesus, to give us the story, some of these stories that we have been studying in Luke 2. Excuse me. And last week, we come to the point in time when Jesus was 41 days old and was taken to the temple. And we mentioned that they weren't there all day or half a day. It was just really a moment in time, you know. And there was some things that happened. And so we're going to read what these things were, starting in Luke 2:25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And just real quick, Simeon's name means hearkening. It means the hearer of God. And it means the hearer of the word of God. And this was the kind of man he was. We'll read on here. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Verse 26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now again, Simeon means hearkening, the hearer of God, the hearer of the word of God, and he was hearkening to the voice of the Lord, and he was a call to this scene at the most, at this most important moment in time. And the Lord directs our steps, and we're called to whatever scene we're called to at the proper time. And he keeps us from things and takes us through some things. And we know this. In verse 25, also tells us that Simeon was looking for the soon coming of Jesus. Here it's called the consolation of Israel in verse 25. Simeon was in rare company, for not many in his day were looking for the soon coming of the Messiah. And it's not much different today, is it? What are we looking for? The world. What are they looking for? They're not looking for Jesus. They're not looking for the soon coming of the Lord. And so how many, we don't know, are looking for that moment of the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I can kind of tell you how many are looking. Only a small rib portion of the body of Christ have the open ears, ears of hearing, that are hearkening to that trumpet call. The Greek word translated consolation is paraklesis. It's number 3874 in the Strong's Greek Concordance. And this word is only used by Luke and Paul in Scripture. Well, not too amazing, because Luke was a follower of Paul. And these were the kind of things that they spoke about and talked about in the words that they used. Paraklesis is found in 28 verses of Scripture. 28 is a number associated with eternal life. Romans 6:23 informs us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." In 14 of the 28 verses where we find the Greek word paraklesis, 14 of those verses, paraklesis is translated consolation. 14 is the number that has to do with deliverance or salvation. Scott's looking this up. Am I telling the truth, Scott? Believe me, if I'm not, I'll hear about it. So, these things, the Word of God is Holy Ghost inspired, and it's amazing how many times we find these things highlighted kind of in the shadows. Simeon was given special attention to the voice of the Lord manifested by the Holy Ghost, which was upon him, and the Holy Ghost revealed unto Simeon who baby Jesus was. You know, if you just stuck 100 babies out there, would you know which one was the Lord's Christ? No. And he prophesied this in Luke 2:30, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Those had to be spiritualized, but physicalized too, that laid sight on Jesus, "which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles in the glory of thy people Israel." In verse 30, Simeon knew Jesus was the Savior. In verse 31, Simeon knew that Jesus was the Savior of all people. In verse 32, Simeon references some verses from Isaiah 42. So turn, hold your place there in Luke 2, but go to Isaiah 42. And we'll start in verse 6, read a couple verses. Isaiah 42, 6. "I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house." Years later, on the road to Damascus, the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ appeared unto Saul of Tarsus, and he spoke similar words, which you can read in Acts 26, verse 16 through 18. And this sentence in Acts 26, 16 through 18 This one sentence is 99 words long. And Jesus said to him, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee." The Lord appeared unto Saul of Tarsus, our apostle Paul, and taught him Paul's gospel. Verse 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Back in Luke 2, Mary and Joseph already knew Jesus was the Savior, so no wonder they marveled at the Holy Ghost-inspired words of Simeon, which are a prophecy found in the scriptures we read earlier. Simeon, with eyes of faith, saw a time way beyond his own lifetime, and he knew the tender infant Jesus he was holding was the Savior, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. And then in verse 34, Simeon also prophesied of Jesus' death, the fall, and his resurrection, rising again. And then in verse 35, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, Simeon also prophesied unto Mary, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. This came to pass as she stood before the cross some 33 years later. Now, in Luke 2, 36 through 38, we find there was another very devout person who was also looking for the coming of Jesus, and her name was Hannah, and she's found mentioned by name one time in Scripture. And how did Luke know about Hannah? Because Mary, the mother of Jesus, told her. Luke 2:36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, and she was of great age and had lived with an husband 70 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in at that instant, at that exact moment in time, these moments in time are so important in our lives, she gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now, some translations have Hannah living 84 years after her husband died. That would make her well over 100 years old. But Hannah's name means grace. And when you think about it, how ageless is grace? God's grace is ageless. It's endless. And it reaches down to the lowest of the low, into the most helpless of the helpless, and brings salvation. In Titus 2:11, Paul expressed it like this: "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." And in Hebrews 7:25, Paul wrote, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him." Hannah saw the salvation in the infant Jesus and gave thanks unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. So think about it, what we've learned so far in this studying about in Luke 1 and 2, what Mary told Luke. There were several people now that knew Jesus, a Savior, was born. Mary knew this. Of course, Joseph knew this. Elizabeth, her cousin, knew this. Zacharias, the husband of Elizabeth, John the Baptist's parents, they knew this. The shepherds knew this. And those whom the shepherds told should have known this, whether they believed it or not. And the old man at the temple in Jerusalem named Simeon, and Anna, the 84-year-old prophetess. Verse 39. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. Now, Jesus grew up in Nazareth, and we'll address that maybe more later. And we'll find in Luke 4:16 that it also points out that Jesus grew up in Nazareth. There's a lot of scriptures that point this out. Excuse my voice. And if we, Lord willing, we'll probably get to that little moment in time later on in this study. We're going to spend a little time here in Luke 2:40. And you're going to wonder why as I read this verse. And the child grew, Jesus, and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. In this verse, we find what I'm going to call a Lukeism. A Lukeism would be a saying that's unique to Luke. And the Lukeism is this. The phrase, "and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit." This phrase is only used by Luke, and he does so in one other place, and we've already read this in Luke 1:80, as he finished introducing John the Baptist. First part of Luke 1:80 says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel." So, basically, with this statement, Luke was summarizing what he had just written and was ending a paragraph before he started a new thought. But Luke 2:40 is too rich in content to just pass over lightly. And we tend to do this as we read. But as you study, you need to stop and look at what's being said. And that's how we learn some wonderful things. And of course, the subject of Luke 2:40 is Jesus. And Luke was getting to where he was just going to skip over some years of Jesus' life. And as he writes, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Now, this phrase, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit is only used by Luke, as we just mentioned. And the word strong here is the Greek word kuratio. It's number 2901 in the Strong's Greek Concordance. And it's only used four times in New Testament scripture. It's a verb meaning to be strong, to be made strong, to be strengthened, to increase in strength, and to grow strong. Turn for a moment to Ephesians 3:16. This, we've read two of the places where this word is found, kuratio. And another one is Ephesians 3:16. And it reads that he, that is, that God, would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened. That's that word, kuratio, with might by his spirit in the inner man. His spirit is a reference to the Holy Spirit by whom we are strengthened in the inner man. The inner man, not the outer man, the inner man. Be strong in the Lord, that's in the inner man. It's not in the outer man. And then there's one other scripture where we find this Greek word, kuratio, that's 1 Corinthians 16, 13. So we found it in Luke 1:80, Luke 2:40, Ephesians 3:16, and now in 1 Corinthians 16, 13. In 1 Corinthians 16, 13, says this, watch ye, stand fast in faith, quit ye like men, be strong. And one translator records that this means to continue to grow in strength, and it is the Holy Spirit's job to strengthen us, kuratio, in the things of the Lord. The scriptural reference that Paul seems to be using here, he quotes a lot of Old Testament scripture, and this one would be Deuteronomy 31:6. And I think you're familiar with Deuteronomy 31:6 because it leads to several more verses that say basically the same thing. And in Deuteronomy 31:6, we find words the Lord gave Moses to speak to the children of Israel. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. I hope we all have learned that to be true in our own lives. I'll tell you this, full overcomers know this, okay? So, back to Luke 2:40. We find that the young child Jesus grew and waxed strong, kuratio, in spirit. The Holy Ghost growing him up to manhood. He didn't have an accelerated growth. He grew as a man in a normal growth. And now, look at this next one we're going to look at. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. Note this, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This phrase, filled with wisdom, is only found three times in Scripture. Remember, we talked a little bit about the number three last week. And the number three references Trinity, resurrection, the Holy Spirit. And as we learned last week, it also points to divine perfection. Filled with wisdom points to divine perfection. And the wisdom referenced here is the wisdom of the Holy Ghost. And I want you to go to Exodus 31, and we'll find the next scripture, which is actually the first scripture where we find the phrase filled with wisdom. We'll get to that as we look at this story. Exodus 31. This has to do with the building of the tabernacle in the wilderness. In Exodus 31, we'll read a few verses. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, of the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. You'd like to hire a guy like that if you were in a building business. Well, God had this man prepared for this. Verse 4, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. That guy had some talents. And I, behold, I have given with him Oholiab, of the son of Ikmesh, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee, the tabernacle of the congregation, and the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is thereupon, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, and the table and his furniture, and the pure candlestick with all his furniture, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burning of burnt offering with all his furniture, and the laver and his foot, and the clothes of service, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest office, and the anointing oil. One of the things that Scott talked about on Friday night, I hope you listened to that. And the sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded thee, shall they do. Now, this man, Bezaleel, mentioned in Exodus 31:2 for the first time in Scripture, was given wisdom and understanding during the time of Moses to make the items of the tabernacle. And Bezaleel's name means in God's shade, or in the shadow, that is, the protection of God. This particular Bezaleel is mentioned exactly 8 times in Scripture. And bridal saints should take note of this and see what we can learn by studying what was written about him. And note what it says in verse 3, that the Lord told Moses that he, the Lord, have filled him, Bezaleel, with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones to set them and in the carving of timber to work all manner of workmanship. Bridal saints, we should know that it's the Holy Ghost that was given us during this church age to work in us all manner of his workmanship to bring us to that spiritual perfection required of the bride who hath made herself ready. And also in verse 6, note that Bezaleel was given an aide, a man named Aholiab, whose name means the tent of the Father. And it's interesting to note, maybe just to me, but Aholiab's name is mentioned exactly five times. You all know the meaning of the number five, grace. And it speaks of the grace of God. So recall what we just read in Luke 2:40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now go to Exodus 35. You're back there in Exodus. We'll read a few more things about Bezaleel. What an interesting character. In Exodus 35:30, we'll start there. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. Exodus 35:31. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold, and in silver, and in brass, and in the cutting of stones to set them, and in the carving of wood to make any manner of cunning work. Note this. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Achmash of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom. There's that phrase, filled with wisdom. Second time we've read it today. The first time it's found in Scripture. To work all manner of work of the engraver and of the cunning workman and of the embroiderer in blue and in purple and scarlet and in fine linen and of the weaver, even of them that do any work and of those that devise cunning work. So again, this is the first time in Exodus 35:35 where we find that phrase filled with wisdom. And also note that Bezaleel and Aholiab both were not only given this wisdom by God, but they were given the ability to teach others also what they had been taught of God. Now on your own time, I want you to turn to Exodus 38. On your own time, study Exodus 36 through 39 and see how these two accomplished all this work. Exodus 38, 22 and 23 sums it up this way. And Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, made all that the Lord commanded Moses, and with him was Aholiab, son of Achmish of the tribe of Dan, an engraver, and a cunning workman, and an embroiderer in blue and in purple and scarlet and fine linen. So the end result was the tabernacle in the wilderness was built to perfection by following the wisdom and guidance of God, who gave them the Spirit of God, these two, in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, to be inventors and makers of something that represents Christ from about every aspect down to the most detail. Many devoted Bible students have spent their lives exploring the details of the tabernacle. I had an uncle that taught about this, and I think for 25 years. Wow. And what it represented and how perfectly Christ was pictured. Bezaleel and Aholiab additionally were given the wisdom on how to engrave the names of the children of Israel, 12 names in the precious stones, which were part of Aaron's breastplate. I talked to Scott about this a little bit the other night. This was the garment worn closest to his heart. And Brother Hill one time mentioned, what a marvel to be able to write the names in these stones. Carve a name like in a diamond. How many of you have a diamond with a name carved in it? So you think Basilio is important? Yes. I'll have you study Exodus 28, 15 through 29, and Exodus 39, 8 through 14 to see this. Remember, these were worn on the breastplate closest to Aaron's heart. How close are you to Jesus' heart?